If you will join me in Matthew 5, and as you're turning there, there's supposed to be something else I was supposed to tell you in the beginning and that I didn't do, and if you can't tell, we're going to have a meal afterwards, and so everybody's welcome, guests are welcome. We're going to have Thanksgiving meal. How that will work is we'll go out this door, we'll circle around to the end of this building, come in, then circle back in here, and we'll have our meal right here. So I was supposed to tell you that at the beginning. Everybody's welcome to that, and hope you'll join us. And again, if we got some folks that come in here around 11 o'clock, let's make room for them, love on them, and we'll let them go first in line. The Bible says first will be last, last will be first, right? Maybe taking that out of context a little bit, but it shows love. All right, so we're in the Beatitudes, starting the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, and it's just been wonderful. We've been in this for a couple of weeks, looked at the introduction and taking Beatitudes just one step at a time. And if you remember, Jesus, he comes down from the Mount, and he's looking around, and he sees a crowd of people. And so then and Luke 6 tells that he turned his gaze towards his disciples and he begins to invest in men. He begins to his disciples, to people, preparing them for the ministry that he has for them and confirming the things that he said at the very end before he ascended into heaven to go and make disciples and do all that he has taught us to do. And we see him right in the midst of this example here. And now, well, let's go ahead and we'll read first. We're going to, just for context, we're going to start at verse 1. Our focus today is verse 5, but we're going to read 1 through 5 just to bring the context in of where we are, and then we'll continue talking here. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, you'd open up our hearts, our minds, our ears, all that we are to the truth of your word and to whatever you have for us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. May we not only be hearers of the word, but may we also be doers. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. And so what we're about to read, if you can, I keep wanting to get ahead of myself. Let's go ahead and just read it. Verse 1 in Matthew 5. It says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then in verse 5, our focus for today, it says, blessed are the gentle. Or maybe your version says the meek or the humble, for they shall inherit the earth. So here, if you can imagine, this is a time of just historically, if you can focus on the times that Jesus is living, the times where Jesus is preaching, there is tension in the land. There is the Romans, they're in charge. And if you study history throughout the past and all that's been going on, there has been might, there has been strength. And it's through this might and this strength that there has been victory and that they have built empires on. And so the words that we see Jesus talking about today, they're very countercultural. Even his own race of people, the Jewish folks, they were waiting for the Messiah to come for the purpose of building an army, something that would come and destroy the Romans and would bring Israel back to their former greatness. And so they had this view, and then here the Messiah is, the one they'd hoped to be the general, to be able to lead this. He teaches this thing about blessed are the meek, or the gentle, the humble, depending on how you look or how your version states that. And he says, for they will inherit the earth. So opposite of the thinking of this time. It required strength, required armies, it required strong leadership to go and dethrone those who were in power. And that is how you inherited the earth. And then here Jesus is. So First of all, again, this looking at one verse, the way we've been doing this and looking at this is we've doing it in a form of asking questions. And the first thing that we're going to ask today, what does it mean to be meek or gentle or humble? What does that mean? And it comes from a word that is difficult to translate whenever we look at the word in English as meek or humble or as gentle. That means something different to us. But meekness, and I don't mean to rhyme here, but meekness is not weakness. And that's when you look at the Greek form of this, it is a biblical weakness is that which is exercising God's strength, but that's under control. It is not for personal gain. It's demonstrating power, but without harshness. It is a gentleness, but that comes in a strength. If that makes sense. And let's explore that a little bit further. So what does Jesus mean, again, by saying the meek here? And he's talking about somebody who is strong and tender, but strong yet, but strong yet tender, strong yet humble, strong yet kind, somebody who is strong but is teachable. And we're not talking about somebody that is weak and spineless. We're not talking about when you come to church and be a man, you got to become weak and meek. It's not that. There is a strength. There is a power. There is an ability to take in your own strength and get things done, whether you do it in a good way or a bad way. But a meekness comes through. Through love, through God, through the Holy Spirit, and it's having everything you need to conquer, everything you need to control, but at the same time, he's somebody who is able to control himself or herself because of what they know is true of Christ. And it's the opposite of, if we were going to look at something to compare it to as an opposite, it'd be the opposite of arrogance. It's the opposite of pride. It's the opposite of self-sufficiency, or those that we meet in life that may have an air of being superior to others. That would be the opposite of what Jesus is talking about meekness here. Again, it's not just some kind of limp noodle kind of man or woman. It is somebody who has the strength and knows he who has the strength but comes under control, under discipline. And so we move on to that, and I've already gotten to that a little bit. So next question is, well, who are the meek? Who are the meek? Who is somebody that would be meek? And we could even look at this as application. How can we be meek, or how can we pray to be meek? And we know that what Jesus is describing here, somebody, a man or a woman who is meek, is somebody who is first disciplined. Who is disciplined. And what does that mean, discipline? They are disciplined in their passion. Oh, we can get passionate about so many things in this earth. If you just watching TV, watching the news, reading the news, doing different things, different activities in life, we can become passionate, but it is somebody who is disciplined in their passion, recognizing God as their King, as the King of Kings, as the Lord of Lords, and submitting to Him. They're disciplined in their speech. They're disciplined in their behavior. They're disciplined in their urges. They're disciplined in what they look at, and they're disciplined in what they touch. Somebody who's disciplined, somebody, again, who is able, but is controlled. This is the kind of person that God is talking about, or Jesus is talking about here when he talks about the meek. Next is a person who is, as we just mentioned here a little bit, who is humble. Somebody who is humble before God. And they've come to a place to realize that their significance is not in what they do. Their significance is not in their bank account. Their significance is not in their hobby. Their significance is not in what they wear. Their significance isn't in earthly things that Jesus would say that moth and rust will destroy. But their significance comes in Christ. And so it's somebody who knows their need for God, knows their and comes to a place of salvation and a place of submission. Again, strength and ability to do whatever they want to do, and they have that, but knowing the truth of God's work and the word and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and through that they've come to a place of submission. Lord, here I am. Lord, send me. Lord, lead me in this would be a common prayer of a meek person. But not only is this person humble before God, this person is also humble before people. Again, it's somebody who is not all that. It's not, and you know what I mean by that. I think that might be more of our teenagers would say, you're just not all that. And but somebody who would think there's something. We know those people, and if we don't have the right words to describe that people, those type of people, we know how they make us feel. But this person here, even in the midst of those people, they are calm. They are meek. And so then not only amidst those people, but the know-it-alls. And a person who is meek, that is humble before people, is somebody who will listen. Who will listen and will actually hear what the other person is talking about, what the other person is saying, and want to hear what they're saying before they push on their own agenda or their own statements. When they're dealing with other people, they are even tempered. They're even tempered. They are kind. They do not react impulsively. Boy, if we could get some leaders like that in Congress, I mean, that'd be something, wouldn't it? Even in our pray for him, our president. Oh, but not meaning to go there, but a person who is meek is also somebody who is forgiving. I love that. I guess I'd call it cute. Little video, not very manly, call it cute. But we need forgiveness. He said, I'm thankful for forgiveness. We all mess up. And then he said, don't mess up by not forgiving those who mess up. Oh, don't we need it? That's why we're here today, because we've come to a place that we realize that we don't have it all put together, that we are lost in our sin, and without the truth of Jesus Christ and the blood and his sacrifice, and the fact that God has called us to a place of salvation, what would we be? It's because of forgiveness that we are here today. Oh, and a person who is meek, somebody who follows Jesus Christ, should be somebody who passes that forgiveness on to other people, even those who don't deserve it, because we really didn't deserve it, did we? And so again, that person is forgiving. And the next, this person is a person who is quiet. Who is quiet. I'm not talking about the word quiet here when we read it in Scripture. This could be a whole study here by itself of what it means to be quiet in Scripture. Not talking about somebody who just shuts their mouth and goes with the flow. That's not what we're talking about. Here's a person who is quiet before God. Again, somebody who comes into surrender. Daily surrender, daily gets before God in church. Where have you come to a place this week, at least one time this week, hopefully every day this week, where you've just surrendered before the Lord and just maybe in prayer? Good morning, Lord. Here I am, Lord. These are my plans. This is what's going on. Lord, help me through them. Lord, this is where I'm nervous. This is where I'm fearful. Lord, this is where I'm overconfident. Lord, help me through this. And then we've gotten into his word and looked into his word and said, Lord, what do you have for me? Have for me today. Lord, open up my heart, my mind, my soul, and Lord, place my feet on your established path. All those things aren't what I've said. Those are things that we'd find in Scripture. Again, this person is somebody, a meek person is somebody who would get before the Lord. They're not worried about the show and the pomp. Again, it's somebody who depends on God with everything. It's also a person who is quiet before people. Again, as we said before, there's somebody who is controlled in their speech and behavior. Imagine this. I want to look at 2 Timothy, if you'll join me there, in 2 Timothy 2. It's not going to be on the board, so you can either follow me there or you can write it down and look it up later. But 2 Timothy 2, where Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit to write a letter to Timothy. and give us some things that guides us today. But 2 Timothy 2, verses 24, verses 25 specifically is what I want to look at. And Paul says here, the Lord's bondservant. And so who is he describing? If we're a follower of Jesus Christ and we have read John 13 and we understand what it means to be a follower of Christ and we've come to a place that we are the Lord's bondservant. So he would be talking to the letters to Timothy, but he's referring to us who would be the Lord's bondservants. And so it says here, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. Ooh. I mean, we're not even done yet. And just with those phrases there, just imagine that. Be kind to all. Can somebody just think about somebody that's in your life today that you don't want to be kind to? Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody who cuts you off in traffic. Maybe it's somebody that you know. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's somebody even in this church. Maybe it's somebody that's in your life for whatever reason you don't want to be kind to them. Maybe because they just don't deserve it. Just like we didn't deserve it when Christ showed us grace. But again, just says the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, and then patient when wronged. Raise your hand if you've ever been wronged. Raise your hand. Yeah, I see some people raising both hands. Yeah. Patient. Oh my word, isn't that hard to be patient when wronged? No, we want to, because we got the strength, we got the ability, we got the words, we can take care of ourselves, and we can do what it takes, whether through social media, through our words, through talking about around behind people's back, through gossip, through all types of things. We have a way to bring these people down, don't we? But the meek who have surrendered to God, who have spent time with God, who has bowed before the Lord, says that stuff only to the Lord. Oh, God, you know how I feel. Oh, God, you know how I'm hurt. You go, oh God, you know what we said. But, Lord, your word says this. Oh, God, help me. Help me in this. And they can, and again, they are come to a place of meekness with being quiet. But listen to this. And now, quiet doesn't mean just shut up and let them abuse you. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Look at this here in verse 25. But with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. Now, there's a gentleness. There's a love. If we find ourselves in a spiritual debate with somebody, whether they would call themselves a Christian, whether they are somebody who is not a Christian, somebody who is challenging the faith, if you leave the place of gentleness, you are no longer in the power of the strength of the Holy Spirit. We see that the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, I think it is. I know it's Galatians 5. Yeah, 5:22 talks about one of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness, and if you find yourself correcting somebody or defending the faith in whatever it is, we have left the place of gentleness, and we are no longer meek, and we're doing our own thing and not Jesus's. But there's gentleness. Somebody who is gentleness. Sometimes we got to walk away from that, and it may appear and feel like we've lost the fight, but again, there's meekness. I didn't mean to spend this much time on that, but but again, with gladness or gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, because this is why. This is why. Listen to this if you're there. If not, listen to it. Write it down. Always follow up with what I read. It says, because if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of truth, and they may come to their senses and may escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Imagine that. Imagine that. Here, just before JJ and I, we had a conversation just real quick about when it comes to teaching and how it's encouraging when people say, hey, you know, I got this from what you taught. And you're like, how did you get that? Why? Because God's working through us in such a way when we've come to the place where we've surrendered to the Lord, we have this strength, we can crush, we can fight back, we can pierce just as bad as anyone else can pierce, but we've come to a place of discipline and a place place of restraint, a place of meekness, and we love, and we forgive, and we're gentle, it may be possible that the Holy Spirit is doing a work in their life that we don't understand that brings them to a place of repentance. Isn't that what it's all about? But Pastor, you mean we got to get verbally abused? We got to go through tough times to get this? Jesus hung on a cross. Jesus hung on a cross. Friend, our mission isn't just to gather and sit around the table together. Our mission is also to come and thank him. Oh, God, thank you for our salvation. Thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord. And then we go and we tell other people. And sometimes it's not about our words alone, but it's about what the Holy Spirit is working through us. You don't have the words to draw somebody to the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit through you. And it's the work of God we see in John 6:44, and the Holy Spirit working in people's lives that draw them to the place of salvation. Oh, and it may require sometimes meekness. Oh, it says they are blessed. They are blessed. So what's the reward? What's the reward? We see it there at the end, that they will inherit the earth. And inherit the earth, what does that mean? Boy, if we sit around and we look at the earth and the condition that it's in today, we're like, hey, we don't want the earth. You know, we've heard bad things about it. But the reality is what they're talking about when we talk about inherit the earth, talking about we're going to inherit it now. And what do we mean now? Not the literal planet, but it's talking about first a comfort with yourself. I mean, I'm sure we have some kind of dark frustration, or we wish we could do this or do that. There's a weakness, something in our background and in our life that we struggle with. And then, Lord, if you could just help us out of this. Paul's talked about that, and he says, in your weakness, my power is made perfect. And God just works to a place where we come to realize who we are in his, and that he has adopted us as his child, that he loves us even in our sin, that we come to a place of being comfortable and confident in our own self. Imagine if everybody was confident within their own skin. But we know where we're going. We know that about God's grace. We've come to a place of knowing who we are in him. And sometimes this isn't just, hey, we've landed and we're here. Sometimes it's a journey where we get there and we realize who we are and we celebrate it, then something comes and knocks us and we gotta work our way back. This isn't easy. This isn't easy at all. It's challenging. We have the enemy that's coming against us and speaking lies into our ears and into our life. But again, the meek, they're gonna inherit the earth, and that has come into a place of knowing who we are in Christ. And it is we come to a place of somebody who, how we would inherit the earth now is that we're teachable. We're teachable through God's word. Through God's example, through the pressing of the Holy Spirit, through the teaching of the Holy Spirit that's in us, we are teachable, and we're always growing. We're always growing, and we're growing into the image of Jesus Christ. And then next, how we would inherit the earth now is when we come to this place of meekness. We have nothing more to prove. Again, like I said a few minutes ago, our strength is in Christ. And in Christ alone. And we're assured of the victory that we have, which brings me to the next point, is when he talks about inheriting the earth, there is that confidence that we have in Christ today, but there's also that confidence that we have in forever, eternal life. And I want to read from Revelation 21. Can you follow me there? I don't know if it's going to be on the board or not. Revelation 21. We're going to skip around this verse. But here Jesus, he tells us that the meek will inherit the earth, those who are surrendered to him. And we're going to read verses, I'm going to skip around. We're going to read verses 1, 4, and then 23 through 27. So 1, first, and talking about the end of the age. Talking about heaven, this John writing this, he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. A new earth, not the old earth, Not we got to clean things up. That is gone. He gives us a new earth, a new heaven, and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And then in verse 4, and when a part of that coming along, and this is a chapter that's worth reading. If you got time to study today or tomorrow morning, whenever you do your devotion, this is a great chapter. And then he says, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. The meek are looking forward to this. The meek, because we're looking forward to this and know that that how important this is, we're meek, so hopefully other people will come and know this knowledge as well and be a part of this as well. And then going all the way down to verse 23, talking about Jerusalem. It just describes Jerusalem all in the midst of this, and it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. And then it says, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And so here our focus is God and Jesus right there. And it said, listen to this. This is cool. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. This is the new earth. This is what we look forward to inheriting, what Jesus is talking about here. And it says, the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and a lion shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So those that Jesus is talking about, the meek, are those whose name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. And the meek, not an absence of strength, but there is strength. But we've come into the presence and the knowledge of a living God that says, I'm going to take care of you. You are my child. Surrender to me. And then through that surrender, we see God doing amazing things that we could never do on our own. And so today, as we wrap up, it's Thanksgiving. I don't know what you shared around the tables that you're thankful for, but hopefully someone shared in the room that you're thankful for your salvation. Hopefully we leave today and we're thankful for God's word. Hopefully we're thankful for God's strength. We're thankful for the promise of eternal life. And we're thankful for the teachings of Jesus Christ. Friend, if you can't say that, if you can't say that you are thankful for salvation, if you're not thankful for a promise of eternal life, then I would encourage you to seek the Lord like never before, to come to a place of, if the Holy Spirit's calling to come and talk to me now and say yes to the Lord, then to come to that place where you realize that we are sinners. And that through His grace, to be thankful for His grace, to be thankful for His grace because He is a God who loves us. Oh, just say yes to Him if that is where you are today. But I imagine most of us here today are in a place that we know God's grace. And I pray that we can be among the weak and that as we come and we're thankful to Him, that we can go out and live in such a way that the world doesn't know what we're against, but they know who we are for. And that's a living God.